I'm Pastor Corey. This is Pastor Aaron. If we've never met, we would love to meet you. We're super friendly. We love people.
We do.
I love you.
You'll understand a little bit later.
I want to understand right now. What were we supposed to talk about? I'm all distracted. Hey guys, Pastor Aaron is, what are we doing? Pastor Aaron is preaching on Mother's Day. So if I'm just going to say this, if I'm your mom, I'm going to be like, I want to listen to Pastor Aaron. So you can take me for brunch after church, but bring mom here. Also, it's Cinco de Mayo, and some of y'all don't even know that because you're from Canada. It's Cinco de Mayo today, so we're handing out Mexican soda out there. I love Cinco de Mayo. We are celebrating independence from something that I don't even know, but we're doing it. So,
hey, you guys, we have a special guest in the house today. Pastor Nate is with us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, from Substance Church. He represents our pastors, Pastor Peter and Carolyn, and I just want you guys to get ready because our lives have been changed. Our marriage has been changed. Our parenting has changed. Our church leadership has changed because of the impact of this church and this leadership. And so we're just so grateful for you guys. We are grateful that you would take the time to pour into just this great little church in
Canada.
Into
our nation, y'all.
Yeah.
This is America. Most Americans only care about America.
Yeah.
And NASCAR.
But the fruit of what God is doing here is partially your guys' fruit because you guys have planted so many seeds into our lives. So we just want to say thank you.
Thank you. There's so much I want to say. And Pastor Nate's pastors, Peter and Carolyn, they're our pastors. Pastor Nate is our pastor too. So it's good to have friends, but it's good to have real friends who can look you in the eye and be like, how are you doing? And when you're like, okay, they're like, no, let's see how you're really doing. Let's dig down. Let's get what God wants to have for you. And let's fix up some things. Let's heal some things. And there's so much I want to say. Pastor Nate, would you come to stage? We want to bless you. Come on, this is family. Everybody is our family. We love you. I love Americans with tattoos, too. Come on, it's not just a Canadian thing.
Come on, Pastor Nate. Let's go. Let's give it up for our pastors right now. Pastor Aaron, Pastor Corey, I respect you. I honor you. I'm thankful for you in my life. I'm thankful that there was a random interaction years ago that brought us into a relationship. And it's my privilege and honor to be here on behalf of my pastors to serve on this Sunday morning. I believe God has a word for us. I believe he has direction for our life. I believe it's not by accident that you're here right now listening to this message. I believe the Lord is going to speak today. And I believe that we're going to have a little fun. Who wants to have some fun in church today? Well, I'm going to jump right in. Before we dive into the Bible story I'm going to be sharing today, I quickly want to set it up with a story that I think some of you could actually relate to. Some of you may know, I've preached here basically every year. I've been in so many facilities. Happy to be in this one for a while and see what God has more. But one thing that I love as I come here is it just gets better every single time I'm here. And it really does, and it's because of you. It's not because of maybe the location or because we've been in so many. It's not because of the Airdrie. It's because of you. It's because that you're here today, and you're a part of this, and you make it better. And I've shared my story many times as I've been here. I actually grew up in a very large Italian family. My last name is Puccini. Say it with me, Puccini. You got to say it like this, Puccini. You can't just say Puccini. You got to use your, Italians got to use their hand, Puccini. And so one of seven kids in my family. In fact, there's so many Puccinis a part of my family. When I landed at the Calgary airport, a person ran up to me and screaming my brother's name at me because they thought I was my brother, which is extremely offensive to me. My older brother, he looks like me, but with a lot of muscles. So just imagine that, a muscular version of me. I'm the cardio one in the family. He's the weightlifter. And so they're running up to me yelling my brother's name, which I'm just highly offended. My name is Nate, not Nick. And so I said, they were extremely disappointed that I wasn't my brother. Literally all over the world, I go places and run into people who know my family. They're all in ministry. I want to encourage you today. My name is Nate, not Nick, not Chris, not Andrew, not William, and definitely not Ann or Candace. I am Nate. And to make matters worse, I'm an identical twin. Talk about confusion. In fact, until I was 15 years old, they did not even call me by my name. They called me twin. Talk about an identity crisis. You have someone with the exact same genetic code as you. They could be creating felonies across the Midwest of America, and I am going to get framed for it. I am still worried about this. And so we grew up as twins, a little bit of an identity crisis. No one knew my name. My parents couldn't tell us apart. They made me wear Nike shoes for Nate and made him wear Adidas for Andrew. And so the only way they could tell us apart is by our shoes. Still to this day, you can see I am wearing Nike shoes. He probably has some Adidas on. It was so bad for our 14th birthday. A friend was invited to our party, and his mom wrote us a check for $7 each. There is nothing more offensive than having to split the birthday gift. I was born too, people. I had to share everything with this dude. I had to share a womb with him. I had to share a room with him. I had to share a car with him. We probably shared each other's underwear. There was no way to tell it apart. Sharing everything. Now, the person who wrote that those checks, the $7 check, she's now my mother-in-law. So be careful what you complain about. I also remind her, you owe me $7. And so my twin brother and I, in the birth order, we're number 4 and 5. In the Puccini family, all of my older siblings and my brother were very musically talented. My oldest brother, he's that person you hate that can pick up any instrument and play it that same day. He learned to play the saxophone, the guitar, the drums, all in 1 week of his life. And I couldn't learn to play an instrument to save my life. Growing up, we were related to a very famous opera composer named Giacomo Puccini. Google that later. And so because we were related to it, anytime we were in school and there was a music teacher, a choir teacher, a band teacher, they thought I would be a famous composer because of my great-great-great uncle that I'm probably not even really related to, and I'm scared to do an ancestry test because I like my last name and I'm probably from Germany just like every other American. But so I got into middle school, and I don't know if they do this in Canada. Do you guys have band class in middle school up here? Okay, I don't know why I assumed you didn't. They don't play instruments in Canada. In fifth grade, the band teacher from middle school came to our school, and you get to choose an instrument. My twin brother, he was very musically talented. He got to play the trumpet for band class. I wanted to play the trumpet. Any trumpet players in the room today? I thought someday I could play taps at a funeral or something. And so I wanted to play the trumpet. Unfortunately, my band teacher is like, the only instrument we have left is the trombone. This is the dumbest instrument ever invented on the planet. I never understood it. My dad bought me a used trombone from a pawn shop, and I remember having to lug that thing into the first day of sixth grade, the most massive instrument right up there next to tuba. I'm hauling this, it's a green cased trombone that had dents in it. It was a piece of junk. And so I'm heading into band class, and Mr. Schnabel is like, that's the band teacher's name, Mr. Schnabel. Of course it is. And so probably comes from a lineage of band teachers. And so he's like, I got another Puccini. He had taught all of my siblings, and now he's getting me, and he was pretty excited. The first words of his out of his mouth to me is, the musical talent of your family, it is just not fair. But the only problem was this. I am actually completely terrible at music. I don't have any understanding of music theory. Why do they call it music theory? I don't understand anything about how to play an instrument. Trying to read music is the most confusing foreign language of my life. I remember sitting in band class being like, no one told me what to do. I had no clue what to do as I sat there. In fact, I am so talentless in this area, I lip sync on the front row because I do not want anybody to hear how horrible I am at singing. And some of y'all need to start lip syncing on Sunday. We can hear you. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm one of you. We can identify. I mean, I remember being in this, and I'm trying to practice the trombone, and it literally made me nauseous trying to practice this thing. And I don't even know if I put this thing together right. In fact, the first couple times I went to use it, I didn't even have the mouthpiece in. And then there's this nasty thing with the spit drain. Disgusting, y'all. Disgusting. Why are we doing this? And have you ever sat through a middle school band? It is the worst sounding thing on the planet. It is like a dying elephant being eaten by a crocodile. It is the worst thing ever. I remember trying to go through the first semester of band class, and I'll never forget the day that Mr. Schnabel pulled me aside after class, and he looked very serious in this moment. He looked me in the eyes. I just remember this moment. You got to remember, band teachers, they got to be kind of patient, gentle people because they're dealing with crazy sixth graders who can't play anything. And so I remember sitting there, and he's like, Nathan, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. And he called me Nathan. At least he knew my name, like a reclamation of my identity right now. The only person who knows my name is the one who I'm in trouble with. And so he said to me, you are literally awful at this instrument. He said, I literally never had a student that was this bad at the end of a semester. And I got to let you know, you can't stay in band class anymore. And I thought maybe it was going to be one of those talks, you got to practice more kind of thing. No, this was a breakup conversation. This was my first breakup, and it happened from my band teacher. And I remember in that moment, he's like, you need to leave or we all die. He said to me that day, he literally said this, I can remember this. He says, if you stay in band class, you will get an F. If you join the speech class, I will give you an A. Now understand me, I am not musical, but I am a smart man. Yeah. I want an A. Yeah. And so I went home that day and I was like, listen, I got an A in band this semester, but God has called me to speech class. Told my parents, I'm like, I'm joining the speech class, which, by the way, worked out way better for my career. Do you know any professional trombone players out there? Could you imagine if I brought my trombone today? Hey, Renee, I'd like to join worship. I got my trombone. Some guy did that to me with a saxophone. I'm like, yeah, we don't need a saxophone on Sunday. Anyway, I remember kind of going through that moment of life. I remember going to speech class. I'm like, this is literally the best thing ever. I'm so glad I chose the A. But I wonder how many times in life we choose the F over the A. I think in that moment of my life, I felt a little bit embarrassed because my twin brother was an amazing musician. He was an amazing trumpet player. And I kind of compared myself to him. I compared myself to my siblings who were very successful in music and worship. And I remember thinking in that season of my life that I will not be successful or my parents will not be proud of me if I don't do this. I think about that own season of my life and that area of deception where I thought I had to be a musician instead of just a good son, a person that was just accepted. My parents didn't condemn me. I think about my own life over times, how many times that I had unsanctified dreams in my heart or unhealthy motives in my life. In reality, I was going down a path that really didn't bring provision for my life and purpose for my life because I was pursuing the wrong thing.
Right.
I'm actually, as I look back, I'm very thankful for a man like Mr. Schnabel and who could lean in and help mentor me and coach me and redirect me in my life. I'm thankful for a mentor who would lean in and say, hey, things have to change for you to pursue the right thing. And I think about the pathway that my life went on because a person was willing to intervene. But none of us really want to be that band teacher. Many of us don't want to be Mr. Schnabel. None of us want to be that mentor who says, dude, you got to change. But we all need people in our lives who will be like that and help us find the right direction for our future, for our marriage, for our physical body, for maybe more importantly, your spiritual life. And the reason I share that today is we're going to study and lean into a story that we find in Scripture that took place in the Old Testament. It's the story of Jacob, and I want to lean into this today, but I want to do this by asking this question of you. What is your true name? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you would bring us together on this Sunday morning, and I don't think it is by accident that we are here in this room or listening to this message in this moment, for you appointed it to us right now. So Holy Spirit, I pray for your wisdom to be poured out, and I pray that we do not merely listen to a word, but there would be application in our life to do what it says. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. To get and give you the backstory of what we're going to study today in the life of Jacob. This was also a twin brother. I identify with him. I think this is why I wanted to share this story. Jacob was born to his parents, and in this moment, he was the second born of the twins. He's born to his brother Esau. His parents were Isaac and Rebecca, and he is the second born. And so they say in scripture that he was literally grabbing at the heel of his brother. And so his parents named him Jacob, which means deceiver or heel grabber. How is that for just an affirming name by your parents? Hey, Esau, how you doing? Oh, and hey, deceiver, what's up? Goes on to be a representation of the identity of Jacob's life. He deceives his brother into to selling him his birthright for a bowl of stew. He goes on to deceive his own father to steal the double blessing that his brother deserved by acting as if he was his brother at the deathbed of his father, and he steals his brother's blessing. He ends up fleeing from his angry brother to the foreign land, and he ends up working for this man named Laban. He ends up working for the marriage of Laban's daughter Rachel, but the deceiver gets deceived in this moment. Laban deceives the man in the story here and gives him his daughter Leah. He begins to work for 7 years longer, and Laban allows Jacob to marry Rachel, the one he desired. So we see in scripture this man now has two wives, and he begins to actually try to deceive Laban to earn more wealth, and Laban begins to continues to deceive Jacob by trying to cheat him out of it. And we see in the life of Jacob, he gathers up a spouse, he gathers up possessions, he gathers up wealth through his deception, living in a pattern of deceive and be deceived. Deceive and be deceived. And it gets to a moment in Jacob's life where he realizes he must go back and reconcile his past. And I want to tell you today, there will come a moment for every single one of us living in deception where we must reconcile the point of deception. So he goes back. He goes back to reconcile with his brother Esau, and that's where we're going to pick up in scripture today. We find in Genesis 32, verses 22, let's read this. The night Jacob got up and took his wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford of the river. After he sent them across the stream, he sent over his possessions. So we see he sends over his family. We see he sends over his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. The next verse says, when the man saw that he could not overcome him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said this, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let go until you bless me. The man asked, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Jacob. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've wrestled with God and with humans, and you have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask me my name? Then that man blessed Jacob there. And so Jacob names that place. He names that place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. Then the sun rose on him, and he passed through Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. In that moment, Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob comes back from his deception into a moment where he wrestles with God and receives his true identity as the lineage and the future of God's people. The very legacy that comes and leads to Jesus Christ came out of a man who went back and found his true name. I ask you again today, what is your name? What is your true identity? Who are you really? I just believe today, if we can understand who God has made us to be, if we could fully understand what God's dreams are for our life, we would stop wasting time trying to steal and deceive and compare and chase after someone else's wealth, someone else's possessions, someone else's opportunities. If we could fully realize that God has a great and majestic plan for our life that is far beyond anything we could ever ask for or imagine, then we would abandon the facades and the fake living and the deception and the unhealthy addictions. We would stop feeding the lies of somehow we are unworthy, or somehow we're worthless, or somehow there's no hope for our marriage, or somehow there's just no hope for my kids, my finances, my physical body. I want to encourage you today, God has a perfect name for you. He has a perfect blessing for your life. He has a perfect plan for your life. I just want to encourage you today, Venue Church, that God is setting up a new name for you. I'm reminded of a story that took place for me back in high school. As I mentioned, I was an identical twin. I really struggled with my weight in high school. I was 340 pounds my freshman year of high school. And as I mentioned, this identical twin brother, his name's Andrew. He was an elite football athlete. And so he would go off to the two-a-day practices. And I was the editor of the school newspaper. So let me create a comparison. And the girls in the hallway would always chase Andrew down, but I was obsessed with this one girl. Her name was Deborah. I had such a crush on Deborah. And after class every day, Andrew would leave to go to football practice, and I would head out to hang out with Deborah. And we would hang out every single day. Did I mention I had a crush on Deborah? Yeah. Deborah was so cute. And Jess, my wife, if you're listening right now, I know you're learning for the first time about Deborah. I never told you about her. I apologize. I figured it was safer to share this in Canada. We'll talk about it when I'm home. I'm so sorry. But I really thought I would spend the rest of my life with her. And I want to be honest, you maybe have never heard of her in Canada, but she's really, really famous in America. She kind of goes by a different name. You might have heard of her, and I think we have a picture of her right here. This is her. She goes by the name Little Debbie, and she is famous for her snack cakes. In fact, she's the unhealthy snack queen of America, and she has a cousin named Mr. Twinkie. And so, look at her. Isn't she kind of cute? I thought I would spend the rest of my life with her, and I'm going to be honest. It was a pretty unhealthy relationship, and kind of peeked out on a random Saturday. My twin brother left to go off to his big practice, and I was home, and I got to be honest. I stumbled and fell with Deborah that day. I actually ended up eating a whole entire box of Swiss cake rolls. I believe we have a picture of these. I don't know if you've ever had these things, but they are amazing. And I ate the whole box. I'm not talking over like a whole day. I'm talking like over 20 minutes. And so, in fact, I believe we have the Canadian knockoff version of them. You can see here. It always has to have a French word, doesn't it? And so, but I ate this whole box. I looked at the box just recently, and it was 1,680 calories I consumed in 20 minutes. I don't even know what I was thinking in that moment. But to be honest, I think it was the first time in my life at age 16 I realized I was addicted to food. I ended up feeling super bad about myself, and I just felt so unmotivated and lazy, and I felt just embarrassed about my weight. I was always trying to hide it, and I'd given into this identity that I was always going to be like this, and I was really deceiving myself. But the truth was, I didn't see a way out of my circumstances. It's as if I was stuck with this identity and this label that I would always be this way. Here are some of the names that I called myself, or people called me: lazy, worthless, obese, ugly, pointless, a disappointment. You see, these were the names that I had stolen for myself. And it was in that moment as I was sitting there in the midst of my depression, that I was reminded of the advice of a really close mentor and trusted person in my life, my youth pastor. And how many know you just need a faith-filled youth pastor in your life to help you find God? I remember in that moment, I got vulnerable with him one time, and I'd shared with him that I really struggled with eating, and I would overeat and have food cravings. And he gave me this brilliant advice on that day in the middle of summer. He says, "Hey, Nate, I just want to encourage you, even if it's something as simple as just putting on your running shoes and going out for a walk instead of giving into that craving, you're going to take a step into the right direction." And so after I'd eaten that whole box of Swiss cake rolls, I ended up putting on my running shoes and going for a run around the block. Now, I want to encourage you. It's really not the best decision to go for a run after you just ate a whole bunch of junk food. Sugar high, sugar crash. And so, but something had to change in my life. I was desperate for a change. I was desperate to wrestle with the truth. And I ended up going for a run that day. But get this, that one run, that one short run around the block ended up jump-starting something in my life. Every time I thought about maybe going back and visiting little Debbie again, I actually put on my running shoes and went for a run. And that small little run around the block just for a few minutes ended up changing my whole life. I learned in that season that I needed to establish a habit before I could improve upon that. And those little runs that I did in those early days, they translated into longer runs in coming days. And those longer runs translated into a lifestyle. And at the end, I became a person I never thought I would become. I lost 165 pounds over the next year, and I felt like I stole my health back, and I felt like I had wrestled my hope back, and I ended up understanding that there was a greater purpose for my life than those labels that I had placed upon myself, and I began to see myself as a worthwhile person again. And it was actually the wrestling for my blessing, the real one for my life that God had ordained for me, that helped me realize that there was purpose greater than my problems. The ultimate point that I'm making with that was overcoming my weight issue was actually really massive. Overcoming the image I had for my life was actually a pretty big battle. Trying to become healthy in my physical and my emotional and spiritual life, it didn't just happen. It didn't just fall upon my life. I had to pursue health. And oh, I'm so thankful for someone who was willing to mentor me and intervene and say, "Nate, God has a true name for you." But I had to be willing to wrestle for it and not let go. I want you to know that one simple act of running around the block, it began to change something in my life and my focus on what it means to be a leader and what it means to be a pastor to this day. And as it helped me find my new name, I began to discover greater blessings and victory in my life. And I found names for my life like gifted and disciplined and healthy and whole and healed and joyful and purpose and directed. And I want to ask you, church, today, what is your name? To get practical, I want to help you with this a little bit, because I think it's beyond just making a decision. There has to be steps towards the health to actually get victory in health. And so I want to talk today about something I call spiritual inventory. I've learned over the years of the last couple decades of my life to help people in the church apply this. And so every 3 months, I do something specific in my life. I do a spiritual inventory. For example, I'm always asking God about 4 to 5 to 6 areas of my life that I need to work on. Some ideas for these categories are like your finances, your devotional life, your prayer life, your physical health, as I mentioned, your parenting, your marriage, your Sabbath, your budget. I've learned that the Holy Spirit is always gently pointing things out in our life. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not judgmental and condemning, but he does convict us. And if you would just stop and listen, you're going to get some insights for your life. Who believes they could use some insight from heaven for their life? And once you kind of identify the categories of your life where you need to focus in on, I want to encourage you, write those categories down. But it doesn't stop at just identifying, because here's where the real power begins to come to work in our lives. It's by asking this following question. I call it the atomic habit question. And you note takers, you might want to write this down. I'm going to throw it up on the screen really quick. What small habits would prove to you that you are becoming the person God wants you to be? Something as small as reading your Bible for just 2 minutes a day, it could end up having a huge impact on your life. And some of you may say, what is 2 minutes in the Bible actually going to do for me? Well, listen, you have to, again, establish a habit before you can improve a habit. In fact, scientists say it takes about 65 days to neurologically rewire our brain into established new habits. And so if you could start out with just a couple minutes a day for 2 months, that's completely sustainable. Every single person in this room could actually make room for that in their life. And then after a couple months of establishing that rhythm, then amplify it. Move up to 10 minutes. Move up to 15 minutes. And over time, those small habits would prove to you that you can accomplish more. Yeah. Once again, I did not start out with a marathon on that first day. I would have died. I started out with a run around the block, but that run around the block became marathons and triathlons and hikes in the Grand Canyon and all crazy things that I am doing today in endurance, but it started with a walk around the block. I want to ask you today, what small habits would prove to you that you are becoming the person God wants you to be? For example, you want to have a better marriage. Well, get this. Check this out. Research shows that people who kiss daily are 8 times less likely to struggle with stress or depression. Let's go. Depression is fleeing in Jesus' name. One kiss. Seriously, Northwestern School of Medicine in Chicago did a study of 2,000 people and had them kiss every day. Can you imagine participating in this study? Yeah. After I heard about this, I told my wife, baby, we got to do some research. Come on, this is for science. But get this, when you write down your atomic habit, and there's a little addition here. If you would simply add, I mentioned write down the habit, but simply add where and when you will do it. Research has shown that just simply writing down where and when will increase your odds of doing it by 55%. Come on, I'm getting practical here. There's some advice for you about actually changing your behaviors, changing your addictions. And church, I'm telling you, almost every 3 months in my life, I actually end up accomplishing several of my goals because I actually made a plan to get victory in an area of my life. And if you're struggling more in a certain area, well, I want to encourage you. We actually have some resources to help you with that. In fact, I don't want to just preach an inspirational word that you just listen to. I'm like, oh, that was great. I want to resource you today. And so my pastor and I put a page together. We're going to put it up on the screen here. If you go to peterhaas.org and you just search life plan, or you scan the next one, if you just scan this QR code right there behind me, that actually is going to lead you to a website that has many resources on it, and it has many just additional blogs. It has worksheets that you can do. It has some more direction to help you actually find, and actually has some of the research that I mentioned today. Come on, I think that's worth it. If you don't take anything else away, take away that I don't play the trombone and go to that website. But here's my ultimate point today, church. God has a true identity for each and every one of you. It is not too late to go back and wrestle with God. I want to encourage you today. Are you willing to wrestle with God? I want to invite you into the wrestling, not in a way that is some abusive relationship with God where you got to beat him up or he's got to beat you up. But it's one of those wrestlings where you're just going to hold on until you receive the blessings from heaven. Maybe today it's time to commit your life to Christ and go all in. Maybe for you today, your choice is to get vulnerable with the leader and actually get true accountability in your life. Maybe for you, it's to find a friend and confess your struggles to someone. And just like I did with my youth pastor and say, hey, I need help. And maybe for you, it's begin to wrestle for your blessing. Once again, I want to ask you, church, what is your true name? After all these years of pastoring people, I've learned that There's a lot of unhealthy people that want to put the problem out there and put it on other people and put it on their spouse or put it on their workplace or put it on their roommate or put it on their circumstances, that somehow they were just dealt a bad deck of cards, that they were given a bad hand. Or maybe for you, I was second born. I don't have the skills that my siblings have. Or maybe for you, it was, I just don't see myself as capable. Or maybe for you, you've labeled yourself like the labels that I mentioned earlier. If I could have just had what my brother had, just like Jacob. And yeah, maybe there's some truth to those things and those problems, but every minute you spend time looking at the problem out there, you're not working on the problems in here. God has a true identity for each and every one of you. So church, I want to encourage you today. If you can take care of what's going on in here, I promise that God will take care of what's going on out there. So what is your identity? What is your name? You see, I serve a God who calls you beautiful. He calls you wonderful. He calls you my child. He calls you purpose, dedicated, consistent, competent, worth it all. He sent his son for you, worth it. Yes. He calls you my kids. He calls you included. He calls you a part of the greatest, most significant thing in all of history, his church. Yes. So what areas of your life would you say you have called deceiver more than Israel? Because God wants to give you a new name on this Sunday. What do you hear the Lord saying to you? With every head bowed, I believe we need to get quiet with the Lord just for a moment. As I look back at my own journey, I've learned in my life, maturity in my life spiritually is how quickly I deal with my deception. How quickly I choose to trust God more than myself. So church, I ask you one more time, what is your name? Let's do business with God. Heavenly Father, you have wisdom from heaven for us. You have insight for our life. And if we would simply wrestle with you, you will bestow your blessing upon us. So Heavenly Father, we submit. I thank you for wisdom from heaven. I thank you for your church. I thank you for this church that is filled with people that have found their identity in you, not their circumstances and definitely not in this world, but in you, Christ. And it is your name that is above every single name that we find our identity. In the name Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would go right now and penetrate hearts, that they would actually experience you. If that's you today and you believe it's time for a reset in your life, or it's time just to give your life over to the Lord and actually receive him as your Savior and receive your new name, to receive your true identity, I want to invite you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, to just slip your hand up and say, I want my name. I want my true identity. I want to be all in. Come on, hands up, bold faith. If that's you, today is your day. Today is the day where he removes the labels that have been put upon you, the false identity that you've accepted, and we begin to wrestle with him right now in prayer, and he bestows upon us a new name. We are his children. It simply happens by just confessing our sins, proclaiming that he is our Savior. And in that place is true salvation, that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. So Lord, we submit to you today. We receive you again, Jesus. I ask you to have your way as we find our new name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. And all God's people, give it up for all that he is doing today.
Pastor Nate, I just want to say thank you. That's not just for you if you are coming to Christ for the first time or coming back to Christ. And if that's you, you need to go get prayed for. We'll have a prayer team. They've been praying for you all service, by the way. Just tell them why you're going over there and be like, I'm going because of this. I feel like I'm giving my life to Christ, or I'm coming back. Maybe you've been a long time coming back, and somebody's been praying for you for a long time. They've also been praying for you too. But this is for, talk to us, Pastor Aaron. I just feel like identity is kind of in my spirit.
I think this is what we're asking you to do today. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. Hey, God, what are you saying to me? And if you need help with that, go over to the prayer corner over there. But some of you guys have been feeding these lies a long time. You've been feeding them. You've been repeating them. You keep listening. And that's all you hear about yourself. And today's a day to break that cycle and go, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to see what you see. I'm ready to do what you ask me to do so I can become who you've called me to be. And so stop today. Stop. Listen. Listen to the voice of your Father. Stop those lies. Receive the truth. And it's going to be exciting what he's going to do in your lives.
I don't know if you've watched The Chosen, but the actor portraying Jesus, there's this little smile that he does. And I'm not a mystical person, but can I say, I feel like Jesus is smiling right now because something is going to happen. And as we sing this next song, it is a focus on Jesus. It's not a focus on you. It's not a focus on your name. As a byproduct of focusing on Jesus, though, that thing that somebody called you, here's what the enemy loves to do. He's so mean. He just doesn't want to get somebody else to call you that. He wants you to call you that. Unfaithful. Addicted. Come on. Fat. Lazy. Stupid. And then you say it. And when you say it, it starts becoming a reality in your life. I think there's a lot of opposite names that need to happen today. Yeah. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Yes.
And so I think that as we sing this song, we're going to glorify the name of Jesus. But I think it would glorify the name of Jesus for you to repeat what he said about
yes.
you. And stop glorifying the work of the enemy in your life. And let God, by faith, do a brand new work in your life. And that you say over you what he's seen in you all along. Not because you're special, but because Jesus is special. Can we do?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Just a mention?
Here we go.
Let's rock this place up. As we do this, somebody called you something that you've owned all this time. And I am sick and tired of you owning that, child of God. Son of God, daughter of God. It's time to, like, disown it and start owning what Jesus said about you.
Yep. Speak it out.